30 years old today. They took away all of his toys. His mother sent newspaper clippings to him about his old friends who'd stopped being boys. There was Howard C. Green, just turned 33. His leather chair waits at the bank. And Sergeant Dow Jones, 27 years old, commanding his very own tank. But Lather still finds it a nice thing to do, to lie about nude in the sand, drawing pictures of mountains that look like bumps, and thrashing the air with his hands. But wait, whole Lather's productive, you know. He produces the finest of sound, putting drumsticks on either side of his nose, snorting the best licks in town. But that's all over. Lather was 30 years old today, and lather came foam from his tongue. He looked at me, eyes wide, and plainly say, is it true that I'm no longer young?
Mommy?
And the children call him famous, what the old men call insane. And sometimes he's so nameless that he hardly knows what game to play, which words to say. And I should have told him, no, you're not old. And I should have let him go on smiling. Baby,
so glad to see you. I'm bored with this crummy homework. The people I'm babysitting for won't be home for hours. What do you want to do? We can't do that. I told you last week I don't go all the way. I'm still a virgin. But if you really want, I'll let you see my tits. Don't touch them, though. Ooh, stop it! I told you not to touch me. It did feel nice, though. My nipples are so sensitive when you squeeze them. Well, I guess it's okay if you feel up my titties a little bit. Let me take my shirt off. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. You're really making me horny, you know. Could you, kiss my tits, please? Kiss my tits, please? Baby, you're terrific. That's it. Bite them hard. I never felt this hard before. Look at your jeans. Your cock has to be so hard. Look at your jeans. Take off your pants. Your cock has to be so hard. Oh, your cock is so delicious. Do you want to go to third base with me? Do you want to finger me? I want you to, but I'm scared. We really shouldn't. Oh, your fingers feel so good teasing me like that. Slide your hand into my panties, baby. Finger my wet pussy. Play with it. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I love it. I love the way you're fingering my wet pussy. Let me take my panties off. Do me a big favor. Kiss it. Lick it with your tongue. No one has ever done that. Oh, yes. Baby! Oh, Oh, baby, you're terrific. Oh, you're getting me so hot. Oh, your tongue is teasing my clit.
I'm getting so hot.
Oh, your tongue is
I'm really horny.
Let me lie back while you eat me out. Oh, I like that. Oh, baby, I want to love you. Yes, yes, please, I want to feel your hard cock in my virgin pussy. I want you to fuck me now. But please be gentle. Your cock is so big and hard.
Remember, it's my first time with anyone.
Oh, geez, it's too big, too throbbing.
Too much for me.
Oh, but I want it. I want all of it.
Too much make it fit.
Oh, but I want it. I want all of it.
Too much make it fit.
Oh, it's so big for me.
You're thick.
Oh, it's hard.
So
big. Filling me up.
Oh,
it hurts. It hurts a little bit.
Oh, don't talk. It feels so hard.
It's up against my cherry.
Don't talk.
You push hard. Push hard.
It's up against my cherry.
Don't take it. Make it push hard.
Push hard.
Fuck me hard.
So
slide your cock deep into my
now
wet
fuck me.
Pussy.
Fuck me hard.
I love you. I love you.
Deep into my
now fuck me.
Pussy.
Fuck me hard.
I love you.
I love you.
Deep into my
now fuck me.
Pussy.
Fuck me hard.
I love you.
I love you.
Deep into my
now fuck me.
Pussy.
Fuck me hard.
I love you.
I love you. Deep into my
now fuck me.
Pussy. Fuck me hard.
I love you.
I love you. Deep into my
now fuck me.
Pussy. Fuck me hard.
I love you.
I love you.
Deep into my
now fuck me.
Come again. I'm there.
Now you come inside me. Shoot your hot load deep into me.
Now you come in deeper, deeper.
Shoot your cum in my pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, do it, do it.
Oh, wow.
That was great. Now I know what fucking is like. Oh, can we do it again? Please, do you want me to suck you? Do you want me to make you hard with my mouth?
Oh. John Lennon was shot here at the entrance to the Dakota Building. Venom was shot 4 times with a 38 caliber gun in what seems to be a totally senseless killing. Venom was shot 4 times with a 38 caliber gun in what seems to be a totally senseless killing.
Bill of Rights, each one. cause I'm going down. I need a fix, cause I'm going down. I need a fix, cause I'm going down. I need a fix. Mama, I need a fix, cause I'm going down. That I left up down, down to the bits that I left up down, down to the bits that I left up down. I said I need a fix, cause I'm going.
Ecstasy in slow motion. Here in the chill room on killradio.org. It's 11:59 in Los Angeles. I didn't write something down, so I know I played a song in there that I've forgotten, but I came out of that with Tattoo, the Russian girls that made a lot of noise back in 2003 or so, when they were 18. And that was a song called Cosmos, Outer Space. And I love those Russian girls who phonetically learn English. And I mean, they know. Then Jefferson Airplane, Lather. It's about youth, okay? And then, yes. That was a flexi disc that came with an issue of High Society magazine back in 1982. That I played. I actually edited that. It was much longer, and I made it short, and I didn't even play all of it there. And then I cross-faded that into My Game of Loving by White Noise, which actually has an orgy break in it. And Delia Derbyshire, you know, from Doctor Who, did those effects for the White Noise. And, of course, I was doing my own effects on the High Society record. And then I came out of that with Kate Bush covering John Lennon's Come Together and Tori Amos covering John Lennon's Happiness is a Warm Gun from her Strange Little Girls album, which was her last Atlantic album. But that brings up where we're at now. See, I got to tell you something about myself. For my own sanity, one of the things that I've relied on the last 30, 40 years, because I've mostly been alone, is that I kind of find a somebody to devote myself to, just as a balance, just a balance thing. I sort of realized that when I turned about 30 years old and I became a fan of Kate Bush, who we just listened to. And Kate was the first artist that I noticed who was noticeably younger than me. She was, at this time, she was probably 21, 22, who I thought was really a great artist. So it was the first time that that had happened. It was noticeable. It's like, you know, in those days, it's the first time you notice that policemen are younger than you. That's weird, you know. And first time you find an artist that's younger than you, that you have such respect for. It's interesting. It's one of those transitions. And And so during the 80s, I was living in New York City and was doing theater and into a lot of things. And so I had a lot more real, you know, removed experiences with people that way, and relationships and things came through the artwork that I was doing. And then in the 90s, that burnt out and I came out here. I'd been into Tori Amos because a woman that I'd been dating in New York, Debbie Fontana, turned me on to the Why Can't Tori Read album, which I was pretty impressed by back in 1988, whenever it was. We both were excited to see Tori if she ever showed up in New York, and she never did. She never toured with that band. So I didn't get to see her. But when Little Earthquakes came out in 91, I became aware of it fairly quickly, and I picked it up. The first CD I ever bought was Little Earthquakes by Tori Amos. Opening that door, you know. Tori interested me because of all those B-sides and all the rare appearances, and because I thought she was really sexy. She was like 29 when she first became a star. I had seen Sarah McLachlan in concert. I'd seen a few, you know, other people. I'd seen Bjork, you know. I saw what's-their-names, and you know, once at the Wiltern, the Sugar Cubes. And so, you know, I'm pretty aware of music going on around me, but I decided that I didn't have the money to follow all of them. And Tori Amos seemed to present a good something. There was something good about what she was doing that it was really exciting. So I just chose to follow Tori Amos. And I did for about 8 or 9 years, seeing her in concert and really just digging her a lot. And then starting to get disappointed in some of the things she was doing. And not to put her down, I just stopped listening. It just, I didn't feel I was needed anymore, I guess. Probably something psychological there, too. Then the person that I picked up on wasn't a musician anymore. Maybe it's embarrassing, but I'm just being honest. When I saw American Beauty, I found myself fascinated by this Mina Suvari. And she worked as a model, and there were just tons of photographs of her out in the world. She looked great, and she really knew what she was doing that way. And, you know, she was in a movie that wins an Oscar, but then the other movie she did just didn't burn as hot, you know. But I devoted myself more or less to following what was happening with Mina Suvari. I got her DVDs and, you know, for a few years. The point is that it's now well after midnight. And a couple of years ago, across the street from Kill Radio, there's this big billboard in a gas station parking lot. And in the early 2011, suddenly they had a full huge billboard of the film of Sucker Punch. And suddenly there are these figures, these strong female figures, sexy female figures there. And I remember one day, just as I was walking across the street, so looking up, and the girl that was in the center, the blonde, I said to myself, what the hell is that? The face just something burned into me. So I started looking it up, and I found out her name was Emily Browning. Before I even saw the movie, I discovered that she'd recorded songs for the film, and I didn't know much about anything, but I got the songs, and damn if the soundtrack to Sucker Punch might be the best thing about the movie, other than the fact that Emily's in it, for example.
My mind. Hiding.
That's Israeli guitarist Yoav and Emily Browning covering Where Is My Mind from Sucker Punch. And this is all, Emily.
Some of them want
Sucker Punch music. And music from an opium den, for an opium den. Emily. Well, the thing is that today, December 7th, is Emily Browning's 25th birthday. So happy birthday, Emily. She was discovered by a talent agent when she was 8. And, you know, the family were out and somebody saw her. But, you know, got to remember that there's so many fewer people down in Australia and all that. So she started appearing in films almost right away. And she's in a half a dozen or so films up until she gets the role in the Lemony Snicket series of Unfortunate Events movie, which is a Jim Carrey film with Meryl Streep. But in fact, to me, the three children are the center of attention for the entire movie, and Carrie and Streep are both silly. It's fascinating to watch the three children. It's a scary children's movie, so it's a lot of fun. And Emily was 14 when she did that. I guess, let me see, I'll tell you, she started it when she was 13. She finished it when came out when she was 15, something like that. She has blossomed into a whole bunch of really good roles, and she did this Sucker Punch, which was not a success at the box office, but is a true cult film with an incredibly weird fan base of people who love Sucker Punch. And she did an Australian art film called Sleeping Beauty, which, without meaning to, is something that I've been interested in it. The play House of Sleeping Beauties, which was the source for the film, I actually saw at the Pan Asian Repertory Theater. I'd always wanted to see it. And I mostly went, I have to admit, because of the nudity in the play. And there's this beautiful veil and this very attractive young Asian woman in this strange, beautiful, stark lighting. And hey, I like it. That's the stuff I like. So Emily is in this art vision, which is, it's not really an erotic film, though she is nude for a good third of the film, something like a lot of the film. It's basically about surviving. It's about a person who is so empty that she doesn't know what she is. And so she doesn't really care, you know, as when she's told that her virtue will not be compromised because there will be no penetration. She shrugs that off because that kind of thing doesn't mean anything to her. Her reply is, "My vagina is not a temple." Lucy is the character. And so it's a very odd film. It's a very odd film. Then she's done a handful of other films and now she's about to get some major releases. Plush came out in September, but that was very minimal release, and I don't know how it's doing on DVD. I doubt very well, but I don't know. In the summer of 2012, she shot for 4 weeks Stuart Murdoch's film called God Help the Girl, which is a musical set in Edinburgh. Stuart Murdoch is the lead singer and the songwriter for Belle and Sebastian. And this is a project he'd worked on for a long time, like a decade or something. And they got it filmed, and the film is going to premiere in January at the Sundance Film Festival. Emily was at the Sundance last year for Magic Magic. And so anyway, so that's about to open, and I'm very excited about that, to see God Help the Girl, an interesting new musical with Emily in the lead role of a woman in a mental institution who is examining herself through songs. Huh? Then in the spring of 2013, she went up to Toronto and she shot a film with Kit Harington and Kiefer Sutherland and Carrie Ann Moss called Pompeii, which is a big special effects film. Kiefer was quoted the other day, a nice interview with him, in which he talked about what makes this special is that as much as he loves movies like 300, which was directed by Zack Snyder, who did Sucker Punch, the Pompeii film is about everyday life in Pompeii. It's not a comic book like 300 was. It's not based on a Frank Miller graphic novel. It's attempting to create a realistic picture of what it was like to have Mount Vesuvius blow up and kill 10,000 or 20,000 people at once.
The director of Pompeii is Paul Anderson, who is best known for the Resident Evil films. He was recently quoted on Collider about Emily. She is obviously a very beautiful woman, but the more dirt and blood you put on her, undoubtedly the sexier she becomes. She's very, very gorgeous at the start of the movie, but she's unbelievably stunning by the end when she's just covered in ash and blood.
That is going to open in February. And Emily plays a character who's going to be wed to Kiefer Sutherland, who is a evil senator or some shit like that. And Carrie Ann Moss plays Emily's mother. And Kit Harington, who I do not know, I guess he's the star of Game of Thrones, which I have not seen. He's the male lead. And so that might be a huge film. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, for Plush, Emily sang a bunch of songs. So she has made records. She has no plans on producing an album or anything like that.
Right now?
I expect that that will change. All this is to say happy birthday to Emily Browning. This is just something I obsess about, and I actually think the music's pretty good.
sleep. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. Sing me to sleep. Sing me to sleep. And then leave me alone. Don't try to wake me in the morning, 'cause I will be gone. Don't feel bad for me. I want you to know deep in the sand. Half of me's gone.
took the purest part of me. You left me alone. You made me my own worst enemy. Lost in the world, searching for how it used to be when you were there. When I knew you could carry me back to where we started before. I got so brokenhearted before you took the best of me. 'Cause half of me's gone. Half of me's gone. Half of me's gone. Half of me's gone. Baby, please wake up. Baby, please wake for me now.
Go. Yes, she was first seen noticeably in the interesting horror film called Ghost Ship. She plays the ghost, and it was just on AMC like last week. Her first adult lead role was in a remake of a Korean horror film, and it was called The Uninvited. Unfortunately, because The Uninvited is a 1940s film with Ray Milland that I always thought was just a grand old ghost story. Really great ghost story. But that's the title they stuck on this movie with Emily, and it was done from DreamWorks, so it was, you know, big time production. And I don't think it did very well, but it's been on AMC recently as well. So that was the first film that Emily had the top billing in. Then Sucker Punch. Then there was Summer in February, which was a film she shot in Cornwall in 2012. And that film is going to be distributed in the States now. It opened in the UK last June. And while it didn't get the best reviews, it didn't do terrible box office, and it's going to play here, probably art theaters. Emily has another nude sequence in Summer in February, if that's worth anything. You know, she's actually a movie star. She's 25 years old. Now, you know, compare her to the big young movie star right now, Jennifer Lawrence, who has two franchises. Two franchises. She's in the X-Men movie. And she's in the Hunger Games movie. And just like Emily, Jennifer wears a wig. And the person that she is not the characters that she plays. It's fascinating, you know. And Jennifer is 23 as opposed to Emily's 25. So she's the younger. And she's the one who gets nominated for Academy Awards and all this. None of M's movies have touched that yet. Yet there's something, you know, something special for me there. So thank you for letting me do my little tribute to Emily Browning tonight. So you're listening to killradio.org. I'm DJ Bennett. Thanks for listening. And don't go anywhere yet, but I got to say, stay tuned.